Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and I am pleased to come this morning in this wonderful month of October. Fall has come, the trees are changing, and God is just showing his glory all around us. We are so humbly grateful to God for life and breath and strength and for his purpose on our life. I enjoy the coming of fall and the cool weather, and I know for some it may be a little difficult, but I think that one of the joys of living in a climate or in a city or region where the seasons change is a constant reminder of God's presence around us and just how creative he is and how awesome he is and how he glories in showing off, if you will, for us all that he can do and he has done. And he does it for us. He does it for us. And so we just thank him, praise him. We had a song that I want to start our session off with because of the nature of our study, so that we could get in a worshipful
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place.
A worshipful.
If you might be expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you're
watching
to the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit.
Opening us to the revelations that he's receiving, the mysteries that he's unfolding for us. This is no small thing here. The Lord is revealing the many dimensions of the Holy Spirit. For years, we've been saying, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to become intimately involved in understanding the sevenfold Spirit of God.
Holy Spirit, yeah. Send for Holy
Speed up. Speed up.
Yes, yes, yes. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we love you, we love you. You have opened our eyes, and we thank God for the revelation and the communion that we have with the Holy Spirit of God. We are going into this new book. I pray that everybody has had an opportunity to purchase the book and to start the introduction and chapter one. And I believe that Apostle KP is on the line, and I wanted to impose upon her to share with us, if she can, about the olive branch that you sent. I believe we're in a place, as the song said, he's revealing things to us. He opens our eyes to some things. And as we see these things, it is him that gives us counsel on how to put these pieces together. And so she did a mailing with an olive branch. Can you share that olive branch teaching with us, Apostle? I know it's on the spot.
Amen.
I know.
Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. I definitely can. Initially when we were going through the first release of the pandemic and everything that was going on, and I was praying and asking God, what is it that I could do that would send something to his people to let them know that he was still in control and that everything was all right. And what came to my mind was the olive branch. And the olive branch, of course, in the Old Testament with Noah, it came at a time when everything had been destroyed. Everything had been destroyed, and they needed to be able to see something or know that something was there. And so the Bible talks about how the dove came with the olive branch, literally in his mouth. And so what we did was we mailed out these olive branches to everybody, but we've also come to know the olive branch and the dove as a representation of God's Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about in the book of Genesis, when you look at it, and how the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. It talks about in Genesis how he hovered over the waters. And then we find him again with Noah, and how, again, Holy Spirit is still hovering over the water. But this time he brings something tangible, if I can say it like that. He brings something tangible to remind the people that he's still there. And so the Lord just began to tell me to send the olive branch. Send the olive branch to all of the affiliates and let them know that my spirit is still there. Let them know that I am still with them. Let them remind them that I'll never leave them nor forsake them. And so we got the olive branches. We did what God had told us to do, and we prayed over those olive branches to release them to the people of God, that when they met them, when that olive branch met them, that they would meet them at a time where it would bring hope, where it would bring an endurance, if you will. And so when we looked at it, even a letter that we sent out with an explanation talks about it first being mentioned with the dove and returning to Noah's Ark. But the root of the olive tree grows deep and surprisingly thrives in the desert. That this particular tree thrives in a place where you wouldn't think there could be any survival. You wouldn't think that there would be any flourishing in a desert place. But yet this tree is strong enough that it can maintain the very obstacles or that which is around them. It can endure the heat. It can endure some things. So it can endure with little water. It can endure. And so we just wanted to, again, send something that represented the restoration, that represents the restoration that's in God's hand. And so as we look at the olive tree as a symbol of our relationship with God, as a deeper meaning unfold, God's holy root is planted within our hearts after accepting Jesus. And so we have to begin to understand, and that's one of the things even in the book that stood out to me, is how it reflected on how the Holy Spirit moved upon, how the Holy Spirit moved upon Noah, how it moved upon. And then we get to the New Testament where it says not only the Holy Spirit moving upon, but it's already within. So it takes a different position. Its position is not in just merely moving upon, but its position now has a residence in those of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. He now lives on the inside of us, and He's there to meet us and to move up on us. So when we looked at the mailing it to every individual, I wanted them to receive it in a manner of, you know, we could have just emailed the letter. We could have just emailed you a letter and gave you the description, or when we seen you, handed you a piece. But I wanted it to be sent to you, just like it was sent to Noah. It was sent to each individual, this olive branch, and the testimonies and those the people who responded to receiving the olive branch, who had an eye to see and an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord was doing at the time. We wanted to send it in a paper, whereas you'd be able to, every now and again, you can look at it and it could remind you and spur you to that place of hope, and that we're not in a place of hopelessness. And so we were just, again, obedient. And then the scripture that we used, of course, was in Romans 11 and 19, that talks about the branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in, that we've been grafted in to this faith. We've been grafted in, you know, even as Gentiles, God has given us a position and a place to receive a portion of Him, to receive the person of Him, if I could say it like that, to dwell on the inside of us. And that this, the Holy Spirit, while we say His name, while we recognize Him, I don't think we recognize Him in the depth of which God released us for. And I'm guilty with many, you know, even in this sevenfold spirit of God, going to sevenfold spirit of God. He's not schizophrenic. The sevenfold spirit of God. So as we go ahead and get a look at it in a deeper manner, amen, and receive from Him. And so that's what God had released, and we were in awe of what God was doing and just in reflecting upon what He had did even during that time. So that's what we were doing, the symbol of a relationship with God and a deeper meaning that will unfold just through receiving the olive branch. That was our prayer, and I believe God did what He wanted to do in that endeavor.
Amen. Amen. And you may wonder, why did Overseer, you know, ask me to do that? A couple of things. If you look at the book, on the cover, it is a dove. In his mouth is an olive branch. And at the end of each chapter, the more and more we receive of the teaching, the end cap is capped by a picture of an olive branch. And so He wants us to understand there's so much richness and fullness in God. And when you get it, when He will open our eyes to see this, and this was not by chance that we have this book. So I just want us to see that one of the things, the scripture that He led us to in the preparation of this book was the fact in Isaiah 28:9-10, whom shall He teach knowledge, and whom shall He make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So little by little, He reveals Himself patiently. Time is not His issue. And so as we see these things, and when I saw this bird, dove, I said, wait a minute. I believe that's an olive branch, obviously. And I didn't see it on the top of the front of the book, actually, to tell you the truth. But I saw it in the last prayer type thing that's at the back of each chapter. And it's before and it's after it. And it's like, he is revealing some stuff to us. And just like the details of the mission the Lord gave Apostle. He is now building on that. Precept must be upon precept. So now we can understand, and as it unfolds, the sevenfold spirit of God, we can understand that it is bringing, and you said he hovered over, and then in the New Testament, he went in. And one of the things that the dove did, he brought it over the water. And then that led them to the place they needed to be. And that's what Holy Spirit is doing. That's part of his, that's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we have been saying for years and years and years, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord shared the fact that, but before you enjoy it, and we were not enjoying it, because we didn't know it. We didn't know the sevenfold function of Holy Spirit. And so we didn't know how it needed to flow. So as we see now, after we're off of milk, we've been weaned from the breast, we're ready. We're ready for the meat of the word, because he is taking us into dimensions. And that's one of the things that I've read in this book that really, I loved it. He said, into dimensions of your destiny. So we have a destiny, but the destiny has layers. It has levels. It has dimensions. And you can be in your destiny when you're 10. But as you mature and you go forth, layer upon layer, dimension, it becomes even more encompassing, because it's going into higher places where warfare is where it happens. In the spirit realm, which is where we dwell. We dwell in heavenly places. And so that's why I wanted to be able to help make that foundational revelation, realization to us, that we don't take anything for granted. That's why it's so important, I think, of the things that Apostle does when she is asking us to do different things, and we go, why do I go through all that, da, 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 da. And yet it's like everything matters. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. And so when we're asked to do something, or we're asked to come up with a form, or come up with a paper, or do some homework, or whatever it is, those things that seem like redundant, but they're not. They're line upon line, precept upon precept, because though we think we know them, we're not in that dimension of it that the Lord is taking us to. And so that's why oftentimes we don't grow, because we feel, well, I know that. No, no, you know that for then. Now, this is meat. We all know milk tastes one way, and you can process it. Well, if you can process milk, you can process milk one way. But when you go to meat, you gotta cut, you gotta chew, you gotta do that. Milk you just consume, you sucked it up. But with this meat, okay, there are dimensions of it that we have to learn in order to be able to process it to its fullest benefit in our life. And so that's one of the places that we're going to find ourselves reviewing in this book. We looked at the introduction last week, and I just want to remind different people. I know I said that you needed to read that. I forgot what I told y'all to read. Y'all remember what I said?
Isaiah
28. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Isaiah 28. And really receive or come to it expecting and looking for something greater than what you think you know. And the opening even of the book, saying, you know, we live in a day of crisis and yet opportunity. So we're changing our thinking. We're no longer going to think, oh, my goodness, this happened. Oh, my goodness, that happened. It's like, no. Oh, this happened. Oh, this is the opportunity to do this. And when we review, and all of these things are part of our spiritual growth and development. When we review on Wednesday the 2020 prophetic word for our church. And when I was reading it, because I hadn't seen it so often, we get something, we study, we read it, we set it aside, we go to the next thing. But precept upon precept, line upon line. And so when I was reading it, I thought, wait a minute, was this the year? We wasn't in the church then. But I encourage everybody, in fact, it's going to be in your packages on Sunday, to read the prophetic words that have been declared over Labors for Christ's word license. That's all I can talk about is them, because that word is over it. And allow the Holy Spirit to show you what he's done. And this is the testimony for me. It, at the end of the prophetic word, it said a new year and a new you. And when I read that, I thought, my God, and I'll share this with you. In January, I weighed 360 pounds. Today, 290. I have not been in the 200s in 23 years. That's a new one. And that's the goal. He said a sudden thing. And it has been. It's like, oh, my God, what's this? I said, well, I'm dying. I go, that's not it. It was a mindset change. It was believing the prophet and you shall prosper. Because that's what the word of God said. Precept upon precept. We need to get these things out that's been spoken over us, that's been taught to us, that's been released into us. Every little thing that you receive should be precept upon precept. See the foundation that is building, because then we can see the path that God needs us to follow. So I wanted to share that, and the fact that it says that it's an opportunity. And how many opportunities have we had this year of being creative and innovative? We're doing things that, and we do it now as though we've been always doing it. And yet, when that prophetic word was sent forth, we weren't doing those things. We had no idea what it was even talking about, because the pandemic hadn't even hit yet. There was no pandemic. You know, so when you see that, and then you see where you have been brought, because opportunity shifted your paradigm, all of the world, school, the children, the family, every mountain. That's another, and you know, I'm probably on the soapbox. Well, no, I'm over. This is what the Lord wants us to see. He's answering your prayers. He's answering our prayers. We pray on Tuesday, and we pray for the mountains, and we pray for the mountains of the education. So, what I realized, and I shared with the apostle, she's now teaching five children. I said, but when we prayed, we were praying that the schools would do right and the teachers would do right, and you know. The family, we prayed for the family so the kids at home wouldn't be troubled and abused and, you know, the different things. And the Lord showed us how now, I said, you have a great church, because now it has been given to her quite by default, and I won't say by default, it's God's plan. But now some troubled children have a place to go online with the apostle. And she would have never thought of a ministry like this. But because of Timothy's school and his classwork, and she sits and she helps him and whatever, you know, the teacher now puts four kids in a room and she tells Timothy to teach them. And I told Papa, I said, you know why? Because she knows that you're there with Timothy and you will help them. These kids in 1 week have just bloomed. It's like somebody, before they were whining, I can't do it. You know, Miss Hall, how did this feel? I can't hear. And she's going, well, I can't do it now. Well, I'll get you later. But now they have a place to go where all of their, they ask all the questions they want. They could get answers. They're being individually imparted into. Their voices are being heard. She's been listening to them. Because most of us, we don't listen to our children. They say, they're like, yeah, go sit down, I got to do this or whatever. So it is, this is how he answers prayer. And sometimes we want, you know, him to just shake the whole school system, throw all of the old teachers out, put new, you know. But this is how he does it. And we have to be in tune to the Holy Spirit to understand the most of these things that are coming into our life now are a result of prayer, God's will, and a crisis bring in an opportunity for us to go forward in the dimensions of our destiny. And so we're looking at the God's eye view of the things. One of the books shares this, he says, the Holy Spirit's unction is every believer should walk, live, and operate out of the fullness of the presence of the Holy Spirit, his presence, his power, and his purpose for our lives. That's shifting some thinking. The Holy Spirit's desire is that you and I every day live in the fullness of the Lord by seeing above and beyond what we cannot do and what Jesus has given us the power to do. Now, that was a part of last year's prophetic word. We were seeing. This year, we are declaring. We were seeing what God was saying. This year, we are declaring. And so this is just a further flow of the release of the Spirit of God over his children. So that's pretty much the point I wanted to bring out from the introduction. I don't know if anybody else has something that stuck out with them in the introduction. So you are on speaker. We want this class to be interactive because we want the revelations that are being revealed to be shared. That's why our coming together brings us strength.
Yes, okay. Overseer, I got so excited when I was reading about the story of Keith Miller and how he really wasn't, you know, walking with God, and how his wife got sick, I think with rheumatoid arthritis, and he just was driving, and he was without hope. But he called and asked on the name of God and just said, "Lord, you know, my wife is sick, heal her." And he said, "He's healed," you know. And I just, it was confirmation that no matter who you are, no matter what, anyone can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And it was just, you know, sometimes we get frustrated because we don't see it the way we think it should be seen. And it was just the introduction of this story and then how he even in healing and you know, how the Holy Spirit worked in so many ways in this book. So I'm just excited about what I'm seeing, even in the natural as well as the spiritual.
Amen. Anybody else? Okay. One of the things that is being shared, and this is a part of the introduction, is and this is to be our spirit, our mindset, when we pick up our book to study, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to open our spiritual eyes and ears to see the invisible and to hear what God is saying to the church in this season of history. Ask him to open up the depth of his word to his people and to reveal the secret things of the kingdom so that we can walk in a greater dimension of victory and thus be able to shift the course of history. And we've also often been told, and I do, I encourage you to read the 2020 the prophetic word, because that's what it is. We're entering into a new decade. This is history change. This is not for a year, but it's for the years that are going forward. And that's what we are being prepared for, because we are being taken off of meat, milk, and off the breast. In other words, clinging to support. It's one of the things I love in the song. It says, "I don't need anyone but the Holy Spirit. He is all we need to matriculate this journey. He is all we need because he is who God gave to us so that we can do it. Therefore, he is our all in our all. He's what we need." And so we want to get an even greater understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he's a hard worker. because he's working every day, every moment in all of us. He is hard working, and we are some hard people. And he is bringing conviction. He's bringing maturity. He's bringing comfort. He's bringing truth. He's teaching us. And so it's every moment he is there being the God that our souls need in order for us to grow up in the image of Jesus Christ. And so we want to know the ministry of the Holy Spirit, embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and then enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that they're teaching and experiencing God, and these are the six steps of experiencing God, and one of them is the crisis of belief, which is probably the area that the Holy Spirit works most, I was going to say violently, but I didn't mean that, but most intensely with us, because he's tearing down dark walls that have been put up from society and from our environment, from our own insecurities, from the lies of the enemy, the lies that the devil has gotten us to believe, that has caused us to be spiritually sick. But the blood of Jesus brings health to that spirit and healing to our spiritual soul that will overcome through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then our crisis of belief will then be not as long as sometimes it is that we fight against it and fight against it, but we will surrender to it and obey it and then enjoy it, because it is life-changing and it is powerful. So that brings us to chapter 1. And so I'll read for some, because I know some haven't gotten the book yet, but just to give you an idea of the different things that are going on in the beginning. The author shares quite a bit about his visitation, his encounters with the Holy Spirit, and how each time it produced something, or as he says, the anointing of that encounter radically changes your life. We need to consider, we need to sit, and we need to reflect. What have been your encounters? It's really part of the homework for one of these classes. I can't remember which one. But when were you saved, and then when were you changed? And when you sit and you start remembering these things, you can see the work of the Holy Spirit tearing down and bringing light into the places that have been dark. This radically changes your life. The Lord moves mightily through us in ministry in unbelievable ways through healing, signs of wonder, and the demonstrated power of the Holy Spirit manifests itself. All of these are words and concepts, precept upon precept. We want the manifestation of the sevenfold spirit of the Holy Spirit. We want the manifestation. See it flow. See it not just flow in us, but flow through all of us into the world so that it will change the world around us. That his first encounter at a worship meeting. Open your mouth here. Something. He talked about the scroll. Eating the whole scroll, the Word of God. The Word of God. It says that he never experienced anything like it, even though prophetic encounters were not new to him. But this particular one blew his mind because he actually saw a massive angel. And that angel gave him something. And at some point he dropped it, and the angel picked it back up and gave it to him. All a part of how God patiently works around us, inviting us to join him. He understands us. He understands our nature. But he gives us those things, like when you see a powerful, massive angel, that's enough to kind of make your mind up that you know, the Holy Spirit, the spirit realm is more real than the air we breathe. It is real. It is not a concept place. It is a real place that exists and exists in a time and in a and in a level that's greater than the natural that we see with our eyes, because it is not affected by the corruption that our eyes see here on the earth. And when these things happen to you, they do cause you to stop, to sit down, and then to release yourself into the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Then he talked about his second encounter, but this angel, the thing that this particular encounter did was to bring to his understanding strength and stature. He shared that. Let me just read it. It says he woke up one morning and he knew God wanted to meet with him, so he got out of his car and went to his office. Stepping inside, he felt the atmosphere in the room change instantly. The whole room was filled with the Lord's electrical presence, along with a deep holiness. It was as though the old atmosphere had been vacuumed, and a purity of holiness of his presence came rushing in. He thought, yes, this is going to be one of those times. He kicked his shoes off, referencing God, and headed toward his office. At the back part of the corridor was the same massive angel who had given him the scroll. He radiated strength, power, and authority to the point where the office says he shook and trembled. He came undone. And you think about when was in the temple and at the altar, and he said, Lord, I'm just a man undone. You can understand these experiences that we read about in the Bible, and they become a part of reality. You know, that, oh, I am a man undone. You know, my lips are corrupt. And when we come into the presence of holiness, it does shine a light on the darkness that's still in our soul that he wants to bring a perfect light to. He said he knew he was not having a vision. He was seeing him in the natural. He was as real as any human being. He looked down at me, unsmiling. I dashed right into my office and slammed the door and said, holy cow, oh Lord, what's going on? And I began to pray. Can you imagine what you would do at an encounter like that? One of the songs they played on Sunday when Bishop was about to preach was, if he walked in the room right now, what would you do? And all day I kept thinking, what would I do? What would I do? These are answers, these are questions that we have to answer because he's real. And he wants to walk in the door where we are in a real way, not in a, you know, oh, that's just so spiritual. No, he's coming in the door. And he later on, they share that with us as he knocks on the door. You read, and I don't want to go too far. But anyway, so he says, Holy Spirit, what's up with the big angel in the hall? He said, go look. He's got a name on each arm. I had to muster up enough courage to see if he was still there. I was sure all the cloud of witnesses in heaven were laughing at me. But you must understand, this guy was huge. I looked, and sure enough, he was still there. There was a name on each arm. Now, I need us to kind of get this visual. I know it was a time we had a young woman who saw visions when they would go into the sanctuary at conferences and prepare the room for worship. And she saw this angel, and she came out, and she come running out. And she started describing, and this is what she really described. And what she said, she kept saying, but he was so huge. And God wants us to know that's how much bigger I am than you are, how much bigger he is than any problem we may think we have. There's a hugeness maybe of a giant, somebody that's 10 feet tall, but somebody that's 100 feet tall or 1,000 feet tall, that's huge. And when you see that, he needs us to understand. So can you see this angel tatted? He got names on his arm, okay? Such a powerful vision of strength and stature. It says, the Lord spoke to me that the body of Christ needs strength and stature to begin walking in the next level of commissioning and deposit of the Holy Spirit. We need this strength and stature if we are to be able to bear the level of the commission and the deposit of the anointing that he wants to release to us. We need to be prepared. Strength and stature. And I'm so reminded of that was the scripture. That is the scripture of Kingdom Church. And Jesus grew in strength and stature. And then the children would say, and so will I. So will I. I will grow in that strength and stature of the Lord. It says that when we commune with God, the Holy Spirit searches out the deep counsel of God and reveals it to us. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. How do we stimulate the thirst, fuel the hunger, and kindle the yearning? Tells us that the Holy Spirit stirs it up. Again, how do we stimulate the thirst, fuel the hunger, and kindle the yearning that our souls are supposed to have in a passion of the Spirit of God? That the Holy Spirit stirs it up. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. The Hebrew word for mighty is the context of Jeremiah 33:3, means inaccessible. God wants to release something to us that was once inaccessible. He wants to reveal to us the deep counsel of God that Jeremiah 29:29 tells us belongs to us and to our children forever. This deep counsel belongs to us and to our children forever. Seeing the mighty things of God, the inaccessible things to the world. This is why we're praying for the sight, for the invisible, the eyes of Christ. That's what they said in Ephesians. Paul said in Ephesians 1, the eyes of our understanding, that was your other scripture you were supposed to read. The eyes of our understanding might be enlightened so we can understand the hope of our calling. Ephesians 1:5-21. That was the other reading that we need to do. That's the other prayer we need to pray on a daily basis, that the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. When they are enlightened, then we can see the invisible things. We have a God's eye view of things. When our eyes are enlightened, then the inaccessible that's not visible to the world becomes visible to us. Then those things that the dots are connected, okay, those things are no longer just items dingling in space, but they are actually a path of righteousness that is lit by the light of Christ. So it leads to a place. It leads to the new dimension in your destiny. And so he shares that he wants to reveal to us this deep counsel of God. And when I read that, it's so often we're praying and we're planning and we're strategizing for the different conferences, the different things that the church has to do. We're going to have a meeting this Sunday. And my prayer now, I pray for the counsel of heaven. I pray for the counsel of heaven to rest in our minds and our hearts so that we can do the will of God his way.
Yes.
He has the counsel that we need. We can't all, I think this, and well, what about that? The counsel of God, the counsel of God and God alone, that giving the whole, the reign over Holy Spirit, we want your sevenfold manifestation in this area as you counsel us to do the will of God, the counsel of heaven. This is what we pray for. This is what we need. This is where our and how the dimensions of our destiny will be reached when we pray for the counsel of God. There's a psalm that says, you give me counsel on my night bed, and I thought about that, and it's like, and counsel, I wanted to look it up because I wanted to make sure I was understanding and applying it correctly. And it says counsel, the third of the three gifts of Holy Spirit, is the perfection of the virtue of prudence. While prudence, like all other, virtues, can be practiced by anyone, whether in a state of grace or not. It can only take a supernatural dimension through sanctifying grace. So sanctifying grace will bring us the counsel that will bring us the supernatural fruit of truth. That means doing things the absolute best possible way there is. The only way to do that is through the sanctifying grace of the counsel of heaven. And this is what we want to do. Counsel builds on wisdom, which allows us to judge the things of the world in the light of our final end, and understanding, which helps us to penetrate to the very core of the mystery of our faith. So this is how we get there. Because so often we say, okay, I know that's true, and I read this scripture, but how do you do it? And it's showing you here, only through the flow of the sevenfold spirit of the sevenfold spirit of God, and that is as it flows to us through those things. And remember, I don't know if we even read our scripture of what the sevenfold spirit, and we probably should read that every week. If somebody can get it and read it, we want to really read it out of all the different verses. Of Isaiah 11 and 2. Right here, Isaiah 11 and 2. And Revelation 4 and 5. So that we understand this. So these things, you can have all the wisdom in the world, but if you don't have the counsel of heaven, your wisdom is not going to, it is not going to produce the absolute maximum that's needed. It won't, because it takes all of them together. It says counsel builds on precept upon precept, line upon line. It builds on wisdom, which allows us to judge the things of the world in light of, really, the Word of God. Understanding, which helps us to penetrate to the very core of the thing that we're concerned with by our faith. How do we penetrate it? We penetrate it with our faith in the Word of God. It says, with the gift of counsel, the Holy Spirit speaks, as it were, to the heart, and in an instant enlighten a person to do, in an instant enlightenment, instantly enlighten a person as to what to do. It is the gift that allows us as Christians to be assured that we will act correctly in times of trouble and trial. Through counsel, we can speak without fear in defense of our faith. And so I thought about, when you even think of counsel, when you go to court, it's the law, and so you need counsel. In other words, you need somebody there that knows all the law, that knows the best way to apply the law to your situation. And that's what Holy Spirit does. He knows everything, and so he knows how to apply everything in the best possible outcome for you in any situation. So we need the counsel of heaven through Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're probably going to stop there before we get to open the door, because opening the door is just wonderful. And the seven spirits of God in chapter one. So questions, comments, insights, revelation, input?
Obviously, I definitely think, and you know, in reading this book, it has kind of shifted my mindset to a new place in him, because there are certain things that we feel like other people have, you know, their gifting. Mm-hmm. This is what he does with other people. And then to find out, you know, when the Bible says that he has no respect of persons, and that whatever mm-hmm. it is for one, he has it for all of us. And so it's shifting our mindset to be in a place to believe mm-hmm. and to receive what he has for
yes.
us. You know, even angels. When I first started being a part of Labors for Christ Word Life Center, and Evangelist Katie talking about these angels that she was always seeing, and I was like, well, I don't see angels. And I actually started asking God, okay, God, mm-hmm. why am I not seeing angels? You know,
mm-hmm.
and so actually beginning to pray for dreams and vision. Dreams was something that I really had. I wasn't the person who did dreams. Now, as a young child, I can remember dreaming a lot. But as I got older, some kind of way it dissipated. And so starting again to ask God to speak to me through dreams and through visions and begin to show me some things in my dreams. And so now I'm waking up and I'm writing. And a lot of things I can say when I'm dreaming, I look at it and be like, whoa, what are you saying right here? You know, I write it down and I allow him to reflect. Even in the book where he said this his encounter with this angel was like 45 minutes. A 45 minute encounter with an angel.
Jesus.
And how much time do we spend in front of the TV and doing things that are not purposeful, you know, for us? And to allow God to say, okay, God, come in, and you begin to minister. And so I think that this book, The Sevenfold Spirit of God, mm-hmm. is going to change us to a place where as we start looking for God to do, we start anticipating, you know, God doing some things in our lives. And I think that this is important, even and especially during these turbulent times. God, what would you have for me to say? A short testimony, I'm not going to take it long, but I've been at my job for over 25, 26 years, and on Tuesday, I had an opportunity to speak to the shareholders, all the shareholders of the company on the team meeting, and, you know, I was literally up saying, asking God, what do you want me to say? Because I don't want to get up there and be talking in and out of myself. You know, one of the things I've been praying about this, what they were doing as far as the social unjust, I was like, God, now that we have their ear, what are we saying? Are we saying something that's going to produce and effectuate a good change, or are we just whining and complaining? So I was asking God, what do I say? Because they're starting a diversity, equity, and inclusion committee, and I'm a part of that committee. And so God gave me a couple of things, testimony, life experiences of when I moved to Chicago, how I got burned out, and because I moved in the wrong neighborhood, I didn't know about those boundary lines. I thought you could move where you could afford. And I got burned out, and I shared that with them. And then at the end, they were very quiet. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And so one of the portfolio managers was like, I'm just trying to digest what you just said. He said, I'm trying to take it in, you know, what you just said, and how we can become better people. And so now he has a face with some of the injustices that are happening. And this is a face that he knows.
This
is a face that he knows. And so, you know, saying something that not only I don't want you to, you know, like I told him, I'm not bitter, I'm better. I'm not bitter about anything that I went through in life because God had it for a reason. And so just the sevenfold spirit of God, knowing what to say and how to say it, that's going to effectuate change. and that the wisdom and the words don't have to be words of eloquence. They don't have to be 15-letter words. They could be the simplest of words.
That's
right.
But because of
the anointing of counsel and wisdom that resonates on you, he can give such a power to those words that will be very impactful to the listener. And so as I'm reading this and allowing God to do what he needs to do with me, and I adjure each of you on the line to begin to make this personal. Don't say it for somebody else. Begin to say, God, how can I make this personal since you have it for me? Begin to reveal and begin to show me what I need to do to release the sevenfold spirit of God in my own life. So that's what I got. I'm looking forward to this study, amen, and what God is doing in each of us and how impactful it's going to be on the house, on laborers for Christ, for the life center. It's going to have such a dramatic impact, you know, because even when we moved in the building and the edifice, and the apostle was saying how she wanted to be the answer to the community, I'm referring to it. But we're the answer to somebody who's praying in that community. And so the sevenfold spirit of God is going to begin to reveal to us and show us who it is, what it is we need to be doing, how we effectuate change in that community that's going to bring a resolute, that's going to bring a resolve to a lot of people who are crying out. The earth is moaning and groaning for us, and we need to be the answer. So I'm excited about the book. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And a couple of things that you share, you know, the fact that it's for everybody. It's not for just a leader. It is for everybody. Paul, one of the disciples said, you know, I don't come to you with elegant words. I come to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what needs to come out my mouth is from the oracles of God. And that's what he needs the people he can trust to allow them to speak for him, because they have counsel of him. He doesn't want, you don't want your lawyer to be somebody that ain't even talk to you. You want your lawyer to be somebody you trust, you know, and so you give them that authority in your life. Well, that's what he wants to give to us, and he's prepared to do that. He's been preparing us for it, and he wants us to see that preparation so we have confidence in him, not in ourselves, but in knowing that he really did do this to me so that he could use me for his purpose. And that's what we have to get for. You know, I can't talk of, like you just said, so-and-so, like that. No, whatever it is he needs for me to say, that's what needs to be said. And it needs to be used to say it. And we got to stop holding back. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. He is there to do his job. Release it. Let him go. Wow. Can you imagine if you open the gate and just allow the Holy Spirit to go in you, through you, where he would take you? Oh, okay. You'd be standing up in the spirit realm going, who is that talking? Or singing?
Wow.
Or painting?
Yeah.
Or preaching? Or whatever. Giving count. Whatever it is you're doing. You would be, you'll just be in awe of God, because that's what he's waiting to do through each and every one of us. And because we are together, the key is he assembles the group. This is not your will. This was his choice was for you to be planted in this place, to hear the word, to hear the teachings that be imparted into the things that are going on in this place, because he knows your destiny and he knows why he created you. And so I encourage people to don't just sit there and say, you know, I'm just gleaming. At some point, you have to start giving back, because otherwise you're going to sit and choke on everything that's gone in. If you don't allow it to go out, we understand how you can eat. Then you also got to, Minister Pat, eat, drink, and excrete. Okay? So you got to let it out. You got to let it come forth from you. Because that's the natural, spiritual, natural process. He has it. He gives it to you. You give it to them for him. And so we do. We just want to make sure we get into that holy circle of joy there. Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
He's just running.
Okay. Got a lot of silence on the line today. But we're just going to ask if, I believe this is Elder Deborah's number, if she would just end our session in prayer for us.
Amen.
Amen. Let us look to the Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we still ourselves in your presence. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, oh God, that we that we absorb, that we take in all of this information, oh God, that we eat the whole scroll. Oh God, give us the mindset to be open to all that you have for us, oh God. Lord, we thank you for your wisdom and for your counsel. Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship, for the folks that are on this line, oh God. Even in the midst of what we're going through as a nation, oh God, it does seem like everything is in turmoil. Lord, we know that you are in control, oh God, and there is nothing that is outside of your privy. So everything that concerns us concerns you, oh God. I pray that you will keep each and every fellowship, each and every man and woman of God that is preaching your word, that you would give them strength, oh God, that and those that are seeking, oh God, that you would put somebody in their way, oh God. And lastly, oh God, give us the mindset, oh God, that we have something to give. And you have given us so much. Oh God, put us in a place where we won't be fearful and awkward in sharing your word, oh God, that as we take this word in, we don't just hold it in. We don't just keep it inside the walls of an edifice, oh God, but everywhere we go, people see the light and understand that we have something different, and they come running, saying, what must I do to be saved, oh God? We thank you for this time. Mm-hmm. Keep us safe until we are able to meet again. In the name of Jesus, it is my prayer. Amen.
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 Before you go, did anybody get that scripture for me?
Does anybody have what?
A scripture. Isaiah 11.
I had it. Okay. 11 and 2.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes.
And
we'll
the
end with
spirit,
that.
And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the spirit and of the fear of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Bye-bye.